Much of the material in this lecture is drawn from Divine Madness. And what I'm trying to say in there, madness, because if you really fall in love, if you follow where love is taking you, you do fall out of sanity, at least in the eyes of everyone around us. But I call it divine madness because there is another dimension to it altogether. I would say this, it can destroy our lives, but if we handle it well, it brings us the transformation we long for. So what I'd like to do is to start with Muktananda, who I learned somewhat late, used to have an ashram not too far from my house in Boston. He starts out with a story that's a little bit like mine. A young man came to him and said, "Guru, help me, I've fallen in love, but the girl has married someone else." And Muktananda says, "That's easy. Just find another girl and marry her." And the young man says, "But I can't stop thinking about her. She intrudes into my thoughts day and night." And Muktananda says, "I have the same problem. I meditate on my Satguru, Nityananda, day and night. I can't get him out of my mind." So, the Satguru. You probably, if you've read anything about Hinduism, have seen it summarized in three words, Sat, Chit, Ananda, being, consciousness, bliss. Sat is being, absolute being. Absolute being is consciousness, according to Hinduism. And in the Shaivite, that is Shiva-oriented religion of Muktananda, it's the consciousness of Shiva and Shakti in eternal intercourse. That consciousness is ultimate reality. So what he's saying when he calls Nityananda his Satguru, he's saying that this is the guru who brings being to life for me, introduces me to the being, the ultimate being of the cosmos. So Eros opens the door to Sat. The madness of seeing and living in the greater cosmos of Sat is divine madness. With this madness, every beloved is a Sat Guru. What holds us back is our reluctance to give up the pseudo-reality of everyday security and prestige. We call it madness. We've become mad. We've got to get our sanity back, we often think. Christian mystics also knew Sat. They didn't call it that. But here's Jacopone da Todi, an Italian Franciscan. "I know well, O highest wisdom, that I am mad. It is your doing. This dates from the day I surrendered myself to you and was drawn, I know not how, to new life." And Rumi, one of my favorites and who gets quoted a lot in Divine Madness, he tells us basically that anyone can bring Sat to presence for us. In one of his poems he says, "He who came in a red frock in years past, he came this year in a brown garb. The Turk about whom you heard that time appeared as an Arab this year. The wine is one, only the bottles are different. How beautifully does this wine intoxicate us." Rumi didn't write his poems. He spoke them, and that guy in the red frock, the one in the brown frock, the Turk and the Arab, they were his scribes, one after the other. And he used his scribes, you might say, as his passageway into the being of the universe, or God. Another tradition, the Sufi tradition as opposed to the Hindu tradition. So my thesis is this. Eros can be the engine and provide the defining challenges for our individuation journey. I haven't said anything about therapy yet, but you can imagine what lies behind this. If it's so important, and it comes up in therapy, we better pay attention to it. So, step one in my argument is this. Eros introduces us to the archetypes of the collective unconscious. Clearly, when we're talking about Eros, we're also talking about something like sex. That is to say, one is usually sexually attracted when Eros is involved. Not necessarily, but usually. And what I'm also saying is that once that we are open to the collective unconscious, we are also open to the unity of the cosmos. Both things are involved.